Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Acts, first chapter. This is after Jesus has been raised from the dead. He's talking with his disciples. Acts chapter 1, starting with verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Let's kneel as we pray this morning. Father God, we as your children are bowing before you today to worship you, to praise you, to thank you for your blessings. As we start this new year, Lord, we pray that this will be the year that you come. And Lord, we pray that each one of us will do our part, that your Holy Spirit will come and fill us, that we will have a burning desire to go out and to talk to family, to friends, to neighbors, to strangers, to present to them the great gift of salvation that you offer to each one of us. We pray for those that can't be here today for whatever reason. There are those that are sick. We pray that you will touch them and heal them. Those that are traveling, keep them safe. Those that are away because they're discouraged or have other issues, Lord, we pray that you will put your arms around them and give them peace and bring them back. Lord, we love you. We want to worship you. We want to serve you. We pray that the pastor's words today will be words that you gave to him and that we will hear your voice. In Jesus' name we pray, and your will be done in all things. Amen.
I asked the deacons to pass out a little paper here. It's a quote from Acts of the Apostles. And so each of you can take one. I think we have enough. Maybe not. Couples can share together. The coming. It's good to be here. It's good to see this many people come out to worship, praise God. I want to welcome you that are watching online, and I just pray that the Spirit of God will move upon all our hearts today as we think and consider the coming. I have three questions I wish to ask. Three questions. I want you to think about these. First one is, where do you feel our focus should be in these last days of Earth's history? Where should our focus be? We say we live in the last days. Jesus is coming soon. Where should our focus be? Question number two. What really brought about Pentecost? Okay, question number three. What two elements are needed before the second Pentecost ever takes place? Hope we can answer these questions. For weeks, For weeks, Christ talked to the disciples about their need to share the gospel to the world. He emphasized how it was going to happen. In order to do it effectively, they would have to receive the Holy Spirit to effectively share the gospel. And the last words they heard him say before he went to the Mount of Olives pointed to their need to wait in Jerusalem, to wait for the promised one. Wait in Jerusalem until they receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. They even told them that they would be baptized. He told them, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days. Not a long time. In a few days. But the disciples' response was incredible. They missed Jesus' point altogether. You know? Instead of asking about the Holy Spirit, instead of asking how about witnessing, what did they ask? You remember? Acts chapter 1, verses 68. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and the dates the Father has set for his own authority. But you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The disciples asked if now was going to be the time that Jesus was going to set up his kingdom, right now, to restore it. After he had plainly declared to them that it was not his promise to establish the world for a temporal kingdom, but they had a hard time switching their thinking to new ideas. I wonder if we might be in the same spot. You see, we as Seventh-day Adventists, we place a lot of emphasis on the second coming of Jesus. We preach it, we pray it, we talk about it, and we should, because we are Adventists, right? We're Adventists. We look forward to the second coming of Christ. We look forward to that. But have you ever noticed? Have you ever noticed that this was not Christ's emphasis during the last weeks with his disciples? This wasn't his emphasis at all. His emphasis was to wait for the filling of the Holy Spirit in order that they would have power to witness. Jesus is far more interested in our fitness than we should be about the timing of his return. He is more interested that we are ready than he is in us being interested when he's going to return. Interesting. You see, the coming of the Holy Spirit into our lives precedes the coming of the Lord to our world. Can I say another way? Jesus is not going to come until we are filled with the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is necessary for the coming of Jesus. Why? Because the Spirit is the only one who can convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. John 16, 8. Get this. The Spirit is not sent to the world. The Holy Spirit is sent to the church. so the church can witness to the world who Jesus is. John the Baptist gave a great promise. He says, as for me, I baptize with water repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. God is serious. God is serious about our need of the Holy Spirit's baptism. He is serious about that. It's mentioned in the four Gospels, baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's mentioned in the book of Acts. Matter of fact, someone did a research I thought was very interesting. Someone did a research that showed for about every 10 pages that Ellen White wrote, she wrote about the Holy Spirit. They actually counted it. She wrote about the Holy Spirit 8,943 times. Now, I'll be honest with you. I didn't go back and see if they counted right, but that's a lot of times that she emphasized on the Holy Spirit. God is serious about yours and my need for the Holy Spirit to baptize us. He is serious. Unfortunately, the disciples did obey. They did what they were asked to do. They went in Jerusalem and they waited until the promise was fulfilled. They tarried there as long as they needed to tarry there for the coming promise. Now, fortunately, it was only 10 days, but they were there until it came. Can we say the same to us? Are we willing to wait for the Holy Spirit to come into our lives? Would we do the same? What really brought about Pentecost? What really brought about the powerful pouring of the Holy Spirit? I'd like to challenge you this coming week to take the book of Acts and just read the chapter on Pentecost. Just read the chapter on Pentecost. Just how did the disciples spend their time together in that upper room, those 10 days? Let me share a few thoughts, pages 35 to 38 in the handout you just received. So follow me as we just read through this. Very interesting. Tells us a little bit how the disciples spent those 10 days. As the disciples waited for the fulfillment of the promise, they humbled their hearts in true repentance and confessed their unbelief. They called to remembrance the word of Christ. Truths which had passed from their memory were brought to their minds, and these they repeated to one another. Scene after scene of his wonderful life passed before them. They meditated upon his pure, holy life. They sorrowed for having ever grieved him, but they were comforted by the thought that they were forgiven, and they determined to bravely confess him before the world. The disciples prayed with intense earnestness for the fitness to meet men in their daily intercourse, to speak words that would lead sinners to Christ. Putting away all differences, all desire for supremacy, they came close together in Christian fellowship. They were weighted with the burden of the salvation of souls. They realized that the gospel was to be carried to the world, and they claimed the power that Christ had promised. That's interesting to me. They claimed the power that Christ had promised before they even received it. They claimed it. The Spirit came upon the waiting, praying disciples with a fullness that reached every heart. And under the influence of the Spirit, words of penitence and confession mingled with songs of praise, of sins forgiven. Lost in wonder, the apostles explained, "Herein is love." And they grasped the imparted gift. And what followed? Thousands were convicted in a day. Wow. Now let's just kind of rehash that a little bit and look at some of the highlights. Very interesting to me. They gathered together to wait for the promise. They humbled their hearts in true repentance. They confessed their unbelief. They recalled the words of Jesus regarding... Now, we're not talking about the 12. We're talking about the 120. This is what was happening in that room. Look at this. They prayed with intense earnestness to lead sinners to Christ. They put away their differences. They came close together in Christian fellowship, and they realized that the gospel was to be carried to the world. They claimed the power that Christ had promised. They praised Jesus in songs for sins forgiven. They contemplated the wonder of the love of God. And they took hold of the imparted gift. Have you and I ever experienced such? This is what really brought the first Pentecost. This is what it took. And what's interesting to me, what's really interesting to me as I read this, their focus was not really on the Holy Spirit. Their focus seems to be on Jesus. Jesus' words, Jesus' characters, Jesus' works. Their focus was Jesus. And this filled them with the love of Jesus in their hearts as they contemplated and looked at the life and remembered the things that Jesus did and said. It made them determined to serve Him and others. The thing that's striking to me about these pages is the togetherness that came about. You know, we value prayer and meditation on Jesus, and we should. We know and are clearly told that we should spend at least an hour a day contemplating and studying the life of Jesus. But what we miss, especially in the West, is that togetherness factor. We miss that in the West. Coming together as a church, coming together in small groups, is never to take the place of our personal daily time with Jesus, but only when we choose to come together and get serious about this radical change in our lives, in our families, in our churches, will we see the power of the Holy Spirit. In the mid-90s, there was a small dying Seventh-day Adventist church. It was above the Arctic Circle in Russia. It was an oil town, basically called Murmansk. I'm not Russian, but I'm just doing the best I can. I think it's Murmansk. They once had 22 members. That's all they had. It was a miserable place. It's winters last most of the year. People don't move there unless they have to. But in time, the church membership dropped from 22 to 8 members. A pastor and his wife, and 6 men who worked on oil rigs. They started thinking and coming to the conclusion that if they didn't do something, the church was going to die. But how in the world do you witness in a place like that? And this is the actual picture of the town. This is actual, found on the internet. So they decided to look to the Lord and they begin praying for the Holy Spirit. But you know, they needed encouragement. They needed encouragement and they needed accountability. They needed something to hold them accountable. Something to keep them courage and move forward with this idea they had that they just spend more time with Jesus and praying to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so they came up with this idea. Are you ready for it? Yeah. Every icy morning at 6 o'clock, the seven men met in the Walrus Club, slipped into their shorts, walked into the frozen lake, and submerged themselves in the hole one after another. Crazy. Then they would kneel around the hole, arms on each other's shoulders, and earnestly pray for the fire of the Spirit to melt their icy hearts. Wow. And bring love to their souls. Crazy? Yes. But these men desired to hold themselves accountable to God. And that daily dip was a pledge that they'd be ready to lead people to the water baptism every day, rain, snow, ice. They did not want to wait for winter to receive the God Spirit. They daily went through this routine, day after day, and it held them accountable to God's service. Did anything happen? Everything. Within a year of that practice, they brought 80 people to Jesus and baptized them. 80 people. And through the next few years, the church planted more than 6 other churches in the area. This is a place where there are more vodka bottles than there are people. Listen to this, Christ's object lessons. This is powerful. Christ's object lessons. It is the absence of the Spirit that makes the gospel ministry so powerless. Learning, talents, eloquence, every natural and acquired endowment may be possessed, but without the presence of the Spirit of God, no heart will be touched. No sinner will be won to Christ. On the other hand, if we are connected to Christ, if the gifts of the Spirit are received, the poorest and the most ignorant of his disciples will have a power that will tell upon hearts. God makes them the channel for the outworking of the highest influence in the universe. Friends, I have to ask myself, am I connected to Jesus? Do I love Jesus enough? For the Holy Spirit to move upon my heart? Too many years, even too many last 3 years, that tank has been emptied. The basis of church life, the start of church life, the beginning of church life is unity. This is why so much emphasis is placed in Acts on being in one accord. Acts 1:14, Acts 4:32, Acts 5:12. The concept is eternal. God is three persons. God is love, and love cannot become a reality unless it is shared with others. You cannot love no one. You cannot love nothing and still assume that you love. Love exists because there is someone to love. And when you read the Bible about the relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you find that they are each always seeking to give honor and preeminence to each other. They think of each other. And they think of others. This is what grabbed me. And they think of others first before they think of themselves. You ever thought of that before? Jesus did not even hesitate to go to the cross because he thought of us first before himself. The Trinity lives in community. The Father loves the Son and delights in Him. Jesus receives the Father's love and does the things that please the Father and honors the Spirit. The Holy Spirit glorifies the Son. Each member of the Trinity loves, honors, and glorifies the others. They live for each other. And John 14 says, in Jesus' prayer, that we become one like they are. God intends for us to live in unity, one accord, community. The church is to function the same way the Trinity functions. When there is disharmony or petty jealousies between the disciples, Jesus gave them a new commandment, didn't he? He says, love one another, even as I have loved you. Why, Jesus? Why? Because by this all men know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. Everyone knows that we love those who love us. It's just human nature to do that, isn't it? But when you love, when your love is unlovable, when you love the unlovable, excuse me, when you care for those who forget you, when you forgive those who hurt and dismiss you, that reflects what God's type of love is really all about. That is what reveals that we are sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father when we love each other before we love ourselves. Matthew 5:43-48 points out that spending the time in the upper room together, all those days, the first disciples discovered what really true love was all about. And so these 120 people, they really did not have the natural love towards each other when they first went up there. Stop and think about it. Amongst that 120 were men and women. They were both there with all their gender differences implied. You know what I mean. Then there's Peter, who thought himself spiritually superior. The James and Johns, who were like thunder to others. Thomas was there too, who would not accept the testimony of his friends. And also the brothers of Jesus, who had made sport of mocking Christ and his followers. All of them were in that upper room. But they are there together, and they became one accord. They became as one. Why? Because as we read earlier, their focus was on Jesus. That's what united them, according to what I can see in the scriptures. Christ's object lessons, again, page 384. The sanctification of the soul by the working of the Holy Spirit is the imparting of Christ's nature in humanity. Christ in us Gospel religion is Christ in the life, a living, active principle. It is the grace of Christ revealed in character and wrought out in good works. Love is the basis of godliness. Whatever the profession, no man has pure love of God unless he has unselfish love for his brother. But we can never come into profession of the Spirit by trying to love others. What is needed is the love of Christ in the heart. Isn't that interesting? When self is merged in Christ, love springs forth spontaneously. Friends, it's all about Jesus. It's not even about us. It's all Jesus. The completeness of Christian character is attained when the impulse to help and bless others springs constantly from within, when the sunshine of heaven fills the heart and we receive in the countenance. Did we answer the questions? What do you feel our focus should be in the last days of Earth's history? Jesus. What really brought about Pentecost? By focusing on Jesus, we became one. And we become as one accord. And then we'll move into community. Jesus, then community. What two elements are needed before the second Pentecost ever takes place? Community and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus will come. The Holy Spirit will only come into our lives fully when we are in community, loving one another as Jesus loves us. Community only happens when Jesus is our total focus, when Jesus is our all. This is the order. Jesus first. And the rest comes automatically. How can it be so simple? And that's what happened in the early church. Because community took place, because unity became a reality, because they were in one accord, the second step of church life became possible, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Think of it this way. In order to produce new life, two must come together in complete unity. When the church was united, new life was born. A church was born in the Spirit, and without the love of Christ in our hearts and the power of the Holy Spirit, it is impossible to be God's church. Let's pray. Oh, Father, as we enter this new year, help us to focus on Jesus. May he come into our lives in such a way, may we spend time with him daily, that he may incorporate into us and we may become like him, that we may pull together as never before, that we may take this gospel to the whole world through the power of your Spirit because of Jesus in our life is our prayer. In your son's name, Jesus. Amen.